concepts because each one points us to God. And I think of wonder being our wonder at seeing God's hand or plan in our life, and hope in his future promises, even when things may not look so great in our circumstances. And kindness, I think of as his presence, God's presence flowing through others and through us. So listen for that as I go through our story. Okay, Andrea, next slide. Our story begins with adoption. My husband and I were married 7 years, and we really wanted kids. All I wanted to be was a mom for a long time. And I'll never forget the phone call that I got. I had told my husband that we'd done some infertility stuff, which maybe you guys, some of you have as well. And I had told my husband, I thought the next thing we should do is start the adoption proceedings. And I had a place in mind where that would require, you know, another appointment and another chunk of change. And I said, when you're ready, that's what I think we should do next. And I'll never forget his phone call from Latin America. He traveled in sales. And he called me and he's like, all right, let's go. Let's do that. I don't want to be an old dad. A week later, I got a call from an adoption facilitator who said, would you consider twins? That's a wonder, right? And I thought for about 3 seconds and said, yes, I didn't know you could ask for that. So we adopted boy-girl twins. A week later, they were born. So 2 weeks from Jim's phone call, they were here. People always ask me, or used to ask me, why did the birth mother wait so long? And I say, well, Jim wasn't ready. Because it all happened really fast. The adoption was a leg up for us in terms of this first principle. I organized the book hoping that it would be more than just our story, but that it would be transferable to other parents. So it's called 15 Ways to Amplify Your Child's Strength. I'm not going to do all 15 today, but I'll do about 7 with you guys. So the first principle is to study your child. And the adoption was a leg up for us because we couldn't assume that either one of these kids was going to be like me or like Jim. They didn't look like us necessarily. That's arguable, but we would have to study them to learn how God created them and what made them tick, what they were going to be good at. We couldn't assume they would like surfing or the color purple. But surely in hindsight, Reed was born with a song in his heart. There were lots of early indicators that he was sensitive to sound. He would cry even in the NICU where they were for 2 weeks. He would be overstimulated by the sounds and buzzers. He would cry in the balcony of this church if they played a song in a minor key. Took us a while to figure this out, but he'd be in my lap just sobbing. And we're like, what is wrong? Well, then we'd read the program and there'd be a song in a minor key. So he felt music that deeply that we'd really have to leave if it was a sad song. It was a piano salesman who first picked up on his perfect pitch. I was buying a piano, I think the kids were 7 or 8, and I had them both in the piano showroom, which was a bit of a show, but they're running around under the piano legs, and there was a man who played beautiful jazz, and he went around and played all the pianos as a demo for us, which the kids loved, right? So did I. But he was noticing and observing Reed, mostly, and he said, I think you better get this one, because he won't let you play the other one. It doesn't hold a tune. So if you have perfect pitch, it's actually painful to hear something, a piano or a singer, out of tune. So we've had that confirmed by many a music therapist, but he was the first one to notice that. In the back of each chapter of the book, I have application questions. Some we're going to show you at the end of the talk, but I encourage you to journal about your own kids, even if they don't have special needs. I think that you can see a pattern over time if you answer questions about them, and as they get older, you begin to see and wonder at God's plan for their lives. So the questions for study your child, just to give you a sampling, are what are some early core memories you have of your child? Is there a gift or trait they seem to have been born with? So as I look back, I wrote the book with the benefit of hindsight, but as I look back, I can see a plan. I can see a pattern of things. And so I just encourage you to write those down now, even if it's the first dot on a line. Eventually, you'll look back and see that plan. Andrea, next slide, please. Okay. We took a family reunion trip to Cedar Point in Columbus, or Sandusky, Ohio. Anyone been there? Couple. This is not Reed, but he was about this size. They have a karaoke attraction at Cedar Point Amusement Park. And at that age, Reed was not one to wait in line. He's still not. But he made a beeline to the microphone that he saw on this stage with Snoopy and Charlie Brown. And made a request, song request. His first request was "'Tis a Gift to Be Simple," the old Shaker folk tune. They didn't have that. His next request was, I think, a reggae song, Bob Marley, maybe Three Little Birds. They didn't have that. Finally, they sang Happy Birthday because it was the only intersection of the massive inventory of songs in his head and their playlist. I tell that story because I think it's important we don't all have to sing the same songs. And not only did Reed have an incredible musical memory, but it's just an illustration of how we don't have to sing the same songs. I think it's important for parents to let go of expectations before they can dream new dreams for their kids. And typically I'm talking to moms, autism moms, but I think that's true for all parents. Sometimes we have dreams for our kids that are maybe unrealistic or maybe don't fit, and surely they might not be God's. And so I think it's really important as moms to reach a point where you come alongside and align your prayers with God's plan for your kids. And sometimes that means letting go of an expectation. A wise parent, a mentor mom of mine, once said to me that there comes a point when every parent realizes little Billy or little Susie isn't going to be the next fill in the blank. And that really hit me. I thought, wow, it came early for me. For parents, sometimes it comes early with a label or a diagnosis. But I think that that's true for all parents. For others, it might be delayed until they aren't elected class president. Or I think for my mom, it was when I didn't move to Paris and work in a big art auction. God had another plan for my life, and she had to sort of let go of that dream before I could realize God's plan for my life. When Reed was 3, we had another unexpected turn in our journey. First was the adoption, and when he was 3, he was diagnosed with autism, so that's the second A word in our story. But often that's when God shows up in the beauty of the broken. And as we embrace our perfect imperfection, we actually see God, which is another wonder. And I think wonder opens the door for hope. Although our experience is very specific and unique, I hope what you hear in my story will apply not only to your own parenting, but also to families that you know who are experiencing autism. Show me by show of hands, how many of you have a neighbor who has autism? Okay, and how many have a family member? Okay, so I would say that's half of the room if you combine those. Autism is affecting 1 in 68 children right now, so if you don't know someone yet, I would say by the time your kids are in 4th grade, you'll know several. It's really, really predominant. And so a lot of the things that we learned were must-haves for us, and I think they're nice-to-haves, even for a typical family. So I often thank God for all the things we learned in helping Reed that helped Allie, my daughter who's typically developing. And so whether it was, we needed sort of exceptional everything. We needed exceptional Sunday school teachers. We needed exceptional neighbors. We needed exceptional doctors. Many, many specialists and interventions. We learned a lot about nutrition. We learned about smaller classrooms. We learned about structured lesson plans. And I think all those things were must-haves for us, but they're nice-to-haves for other people. So I think there's lots of lessons we can learn from people experiencing disability. Okay, Andrea. It was easy to see Reed's affinity or special interest on another family trip to Williamsburg. This is him. And how many of you have been to Williamsburg? Okay. More popular than Sandusky. So, you know, at dusk or sundown every night, they have a fife and drum corps that marches down Main Street for about 30 minutes. Well, Reed chased after these fife and drummers, and we chased after him. And his whole body, you can see, I think he's sweating in that shirt, or he spilled a root beer. But anyway, his whole body just exclaimed, "Finally, someone who speaks my language." Their musical language of the call and response and the fife and drum was just so powerful for him. And we have since come to understand that he has a very high musical intelligence. So I think it's really key to figure out your kids and look for the special interest or affinity that they have. There's a great tool online called StrengthsFinder. Anyone heard of it? Jen's read the book. So my father-in-law gave us all a StrengthsFinder book one Christmas, and so the whole family took this online assessment for $20, and it shows you your top five strengths. So we all have 10 strengths, top 10 strengths, and they may rotate over our life. So stay-at-home moms might, if they go back to work, their top 5 and 10 might switch, but they're always the same throughout your life. So you can have kids, maybe from about age 10 on, take this, have your husband take it. We did our whole extended family. And now we know a lot more about each other, and we can work better together. It's helped in our marriage, because I know Jim's a strategist and a futurist. I'm a harmony and an empathy. We're both achievers, so we like to get stuff done. but it helps me to know what he's good at, to know what I can expect of him. And if it's not in his strength area, I ask someone else, right? So... But I think our kids can take those too. It really helped my daughter looking at colleges. It really helped us. It's helped my nephews decrease their sibling rivalry, because that would come about because their strengths are so different. And Tom Rath, who wrote the book, believes that it's a fallacy to think that we can shore up our weaknesses in life, or we can work on something and get better. In fact, he says, our strengths are lifelong, and we should pursue those, because that's like our genius zone, and that's where we'll accomplish what God has in mind. And so rather than spinning your wheels trying to change or improve some deficit, it's really best to learn your strength and then operate within that, and we'll do more. Okay. It was a preschool teacher who first noticed Reed's dramatic increase of attention span when they used music in the classroom. She asked me if I'd ever considered music therapy. And at the time, right, I was a new mom. I hadn't heard of it. I took her referral, though, and we've had a music therapist on Reed's team ever since. Early on, and I don't know if families who have a child diagnosed with autism often have a 40-hour-a-week intervention program that runs out of their home. So you have a home team, and there's speech, OT, sometimes PT, a lot of ABA, behavioral therapy, and this is going on in your home. So at that point, we added a music therapist to the team, and they wrote songs for all his IEP goals. We had a song for everything. No gluten, ways to say hello, listening to what my body says, taking turns, someone took my toy away. Reed learned through music, and we cross-trained all his about a dozen tutors so they could all support him with music. There was a time I said, everything he knows, he's learned through music. Music therapy worked. It was the only therapy Reed didn't avoid. And I feel like it gave him his childhood back, because for these kids with a 40-hour intervention, if you imagine that, it's not only an invasion of your privacy at home, changes your home into a school, but it also means, if you've ever been to therapy, you know that therapists make you work on something that's hard for you. So imagine spending your childhood working on things that are hard for you, or having everything be hard for you. So setting it to music made it innately pleasurable, and it really gave Reed his childhood back. Okay, and it gave us a lot of hope. There's your theme, right? So I believe music is also the language of the spirit, and all of us, our spirits are intact, no matter how disabled parts of our body are. And so music enables us to connect at that spirit level, and that gave us a lot of hope. Okay. Let's go to the next one. Music therapists tend to be highly intuitive and empathetic. We've known more than a dozen over the years now, but one in particular for 13 years. She's become part of our family in a sense. When Reed was 9, she invited him to perform at the NBC Health Fair downtown. She was launching her new business. The previous slide was Reed's face on her business card, so he was sort of a poster child for the success of music therapy. And she said, I'd like him to sing some of these songs down at the NBC Health Fair. And I thought, okay, how's that going to work? Will that be possible? So kids with autism are typically overstimulated by a lot of sensory issues, sounds, lights, people, traffic. Where do you have the most of that? Downtown. But I packed them up. We were gonna do our best. And my other concern was that between the parking ramp and the NBC Plaza was a huge four-story Sam Goody. And still to this day, Reed loves media. And so getting him out of that store, that was going to be a black hole. And I thought, if we get in there, we will never make this gig because I won't be able to get him. Transitions are tough, too, for people on the spectrum. So I thought, I'll never get him out of there. Well, the whole way down, I was priming him because advance notice helps also for kids on the spectrum. So I'm preparing him, all kids. That's true for all kids, right? Reed, when we get there, we got to find Angela. We're going to hold hands, cross the busy streets. There's a Sam Goody, but we're going to go around it and find Angela. What are we going to do? And he'd repeat it back to me, find Angela. When are we going to Sam Goody? After, right, okay. So he got it. I got out of the car, remembered to see where I parked, grabbed their hands, and I'm breaking a sweat now, And Reed looked up at me and said, Mom, and he didn't have a lot of language at this point in time. So he looked up and he said, Mom, just get me to the stage. This was his self-professed niche, right? Angela had identified his innate performer and was even able to channel his attention-seeking behaviors better than a lot of ABA therapists. She'd taken his special interest to the next level. And the practice and rehearsal components of music suited his brain. So music has, like all special interests, I mean, some kids have a special interest in Dora the Explorer, or wind chimes, or Legos, or trains. And this is true, I think, of typical kids as well. But music or any special interest can grow with a child through ages and stages of life. So for Reed, it had begun to address his IEP goals, and then it had morphed into adapted piano lessons, and now it was turning into a way for him to work on life skills by performing in the community. Reed's self-perception and identity changed in this season. He began to say, I'm a musician, which gave us hope, right? Okay, Jen. All right, that's a picture of Angela. We didn't set out to make Angela a mentor, but certainly over time it happened. When Reed was 16, she gave him a Christmas gift that was like something someone had given her in high school. It was a recording session. That was a bit of a hook, because in order to record a song, they would have to write it first. So they collaborated to write their first original song called Shine. Through this process, she was able to mentor him through songwriting and also recording. And ultimately, that went so well, and Reed enjoyed and learned so much from the process, that they went on to record another CD of color songs. one for each color. And Reed was learning self-expression as he wrote about things in his world that were red, orange, yellow, green, blue, purple. Angela runs this camp jam for younger students, and they have a guest musician who comes every day of this week-long camp. So she invited Reed to be the guest musician on the Friday. So he went and sang his color songs to these preschoolers. He very naturally took on a junior therapist role now at 16, emulating what he had seen Angela do for him as a child. Another common trait of autism is, or really a myth, is that kids with autism can't show empathy. And I love this story because it defies that myth. Reed, we went early to this camp jam so that Reed could warm up on the keyboard. And when we arrived, most of the kids were back in a craft room, and they were to file in for this show with the guest musician. Well, little Johnny, which is not his real name, little Johnny was in the front room screaming with his ears covered and his one-on-one aide sitting with him when we walked in. And there was a time when Reed would hear a crying baby in a restaurant and basically join them, which was our first clue that he did have empathy. But it made for a full-scale, just sort of a group meltdown instead of a group hug. It was joining people, you know, in some sort of angst. So when I saw Johnny, I thought, oh, yikes, how are we going to warm up? And how are we even going to get in this room without multiplying this? But Reed surprised me that day, and he got up real close to, he got down on Johnny's level, and he said, Johnny, shh, you got to take a deep breath. No screaming. Let's count to 10, and I'm going to sing a song just for you. Well, Johnny quieted down, and Reed went over to the keyboard, did his warm-ups, and Johnny got to hear the show. When it was time for the other kids to file in, Johnny sort of erupted again and lost it, and so they took him with the one-on-one in the now quiet room, which was the other room. And but I love that story because he didn't miss the show. He got a private show. And 5 years prior, Reed had been Johnny. So it's a beautiful story to me of how God develops empathy and kindness, right? Wonder, hope, and kindness in all of us. So focusing on a special interest is a great way to introduce us to mentors. Reed had Angela as a mentor and many others. His second CD that we produced includes 14 musicians who... some go to this church, Lisa Pittman, Chris Hobson, who's the recording engineer, is an old friend from this church. And there are 14 musicians on here. Half of them are music therapists. The other half are worship leaders, Capernaum Young Life leaders, people who've mentored Reed through the process of making this. Okay, next slide. Reed has a peer mentor named Joel who loves animation and graphic design. So Joel made coloring sheets that go with each of Reed's color songs. And those are downloadable from his website. So I think your kids are about the right age for learning their colors and coloring something like this orange musician with the orange piano. And I'm going to play you a clip. Jen is going to play you a clip of... There you go. Okay. So we've become advocates for music therapy for obvious reasons. And this is my plug for music therapy, just to let you know a little bit about it, should you ever need it. The classic definition of music therapy is that it's using music to accomplish non-music goals. So unlike piano lessons, where it's music for music's sake, music therapy might use music to accomplish another goal, whether that is potty training, or academic math goals, or self-regulation. For seniors, music therapy is used in with clients with Parkinson's to smooth out their gait. It can be used for memory retention for people with Alzheimer's. And so it's using music for a non-music goal. I know this because Reed's twin sister is now at Berkeley in Boston studying music therapy. So she's got one semester left. And we're learning about it from a new lens now as she does that. But we love it because it's cross-curricular. You can address almost any goal with music. It's its own reward, so it's innately pleasurable. It employs a relative strength. It's strength-based. So instead of flogging a deficit, you're using a strength. It utilizes the whole brain, so you literally are recruiting extra cognitive ability by using both hemispheres. It adapts easily through the age span. It's age appropriate always. And it generalizes easily outside the classroom or clinic. And it allows for structure and flexibility simultaneously. That's all I'll say about that. Okay, Jen. All right. Kids on the spectrum commonly have difficulty generalizing skills. That means they can do something one day with one person, but the next day they might not be able to do it with someone else. So this is problematic for learning, right? Because the teacher says, oh no, he did that in class. Well, if he doesn't do it at home or out and about, you're still working on it. You can't master a goal unless you can do it in all settings. So generalizing a special interest, like music for Reed, can open the doorway to new people and places, and it generalizes easily to other settings. When Reed was in high school, he went to about 5 different special ed schools in the county, and through sort of a side door entrance, he got to Torrey Pines as about a sophomore in high school. And he'd been there a month when he heard they have a Torrey Pines Idol, TP Idol, American Idol contest. And he wanted to enter this. So the teacher was supportive. I was tentative. But, you know, Torrey Pines is intimidating, not just for kids, but for parents. Anyway, I was like, okay. The teacher made it all happen. And this is a picture of Reed after he sang Shine. He sang it for the first time without Angela present, without his Kingsman band backing him up, and without me. So this was a real milestone in terms of generalization, and it's a great example of how the song itself became the constant. Once he was singing, he knew where he was in space, he knew where he was, had a sense of place, and had a comfort level. In essence, he was introducing himself to the student body at this new school and telling his story to a group of typical teens. He made a last minute decision to sing it a cappella also because I think the sound system was a little spotty.
Would you like to hear it? All right. Hope you enjoy it. Do you have the clip? If you know the words, you can sing along. Some days I feel grand, with the sun on my face and my feet in the sand. I can do anything, whatever the day may bring. The clouds roll in and the sky turns gray. I can't find the words to say. I don't know what to do. I see some light is breaking through. Here we go. You can do it if you really try. Don't give up, reach for the sky. A spark in you has begun to grow. Shout it for the world to know you're gonna shine. 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 Some days my feet won't stop as I'm running to the mountain top. My heart is pounding, the wind's in my face. I won't hang, I can keep this pace. The clouds roll in, the sky turns gray. I can't find the words to say. I don't know what to do. I see some light is breaking through. Here we go. You can do it if you really try. Don't give up, reach for the sky. A spark in you has begun to grow. Shout it for the world to know you're gonna shine. 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 Sing with your heart, play your part, jump to your feet, dance in the street. Don't be afraid, let others see the dreams you have, why you could be. Oh, 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 oh. Try, don't give up, reach for the sky. A spark in you has begun to grow. Shout it for the world to know. You can do it if you really try. Don't give up, reach for the sky. A spark in you has begun to grow. Shout it for the world to know. You're gonna shine. Shine. Shine more time. Oh, shine, shine, shine. Thank you.
So in the picture with Reed Frank is on the right. He was a new voice coach who entered Reed's life at that point. And Amy is the band director at Torrey Pines. And she was one of the judges. She came up to me afterwards like, oh, I can't believe he did an original song. And I voted for him. I wanted him to win. And he didn't win. But I said, that wasn't the point. It wasn't about winning that day. It was about being included. And so the music made a way for him to be included. When Reed graduated high school, my husband and I were on a dinner date brainstorming what he was going to do after workability. Kids with special needs often leave high school and go to a transition program for 3 years. Reed was going to do that across the street at Earl Warren, and that would mean learning some job skills by folding pizza boxes at Round Table and emptying shoe boxes at Marshall's, all of which are great job skills, but we knew that wasn't going to be relevant for too long. And so we were brainstorming, what could he do? Anything with a mic, right, to expand and broaden this special interest of his. So somehow, and this is the benefit of knowing your kids really well, right? Somehow knowing him well enough, we came up with the idea of a podcast. So here we go. Talk Time with Reed Moriarty is Reed's own podcast. And every 2 weeks, we release an interview, 7-minute interview with someone he finds interesting. So often these are other musicians, performers, or entertainers. And he's going to tell you a lot more about this. But
Of course.
But it has become his continuing higher education, right? In lieu of leaving for college, we're traveling and he's learning flexibility and learning about his world through these one-on-one interviews with people who, and really he's working on language, social behavior skills through the context of this podcast. Those are kind of the hallmarks of the diagnosis, which I didn't mention earlier, but anyway. Social language behavior. I used to think no one could match Reed's energy level, but this is Joey Mazzarino, who's the head writer at Sesame Street. We went to Sesame Workshop in New York City, and Reed got to interview Joey, the man, and also Murray, the puppet. He's the voice of Murray.
Of course.
And Joey surpassed Reed's energy level, as you'll hear later. But the point of this is that the point is not that every kid will have a podcast, but I believe there's hope and a way for every one of our children to connect in relationship and community. And so for Reed, it's a podcast. But for other kids, it might be something else. So I'm going to let Reed tell you more about it.
Okay.
But as he's talking, I want you to listen for the wonder in each interaction. Reed's wonder and the guest's wonder.
Of course.
The incredible kindness that's shown, the presence of God flowing through each one of these guests as they say yes to this unlikely conversation, and the hope that's inherent in Reed being invited into their space.
Of course.
I've added one thing for today.
Of course.
Reed knows his cue, and I'm going over. But I want to tie this into your theme. So in the book, I quote Dallas Willard, who's a theologian. He says, the aim of God in history is the creation of an all-inclusive community of loving persons, with himself included as its prime sustainer and most glorious inhabitant. And so, as I listen to these podcasts and as we go about making them, to me, it's a picture of heaven where one day we will all be fully included.
All right. Go ahead, Jen. Jen, the first slide. Jen? No, there we go. We're going to save it till the end. Hi, I'm Marie Moriarty. I'd like to share a preview of my first 50 podcasts, and then after I talk, there will be a live interview where you can come up and be interviewed. And so let's get started. Three things: I'm funny, I'm smart, and I'm proud. Three things I like to do: I like to eat kidney beans, I like to go swimming, and I like to look for VHS tapes at thrift stores. This is a picture of me with Bill Cody. He's the country DJ in Nashville, and so we have a clip from Bill Cody. Hope you enjoy it. I met him on one of our road trips. You can find all of my podcasts on SoundCloud, YouTube, or ReeMoriarty.com. And I love listening to them over and over again. And I admire from my heroes who are really my heroes, starting with Amy Mady. We did this interview in a teepee. She bakes wonderful cookies and she grew up in Hawaii. Then we started to ask famous people. First one who said yes was Mr. Greg Harris. He's the CEO of the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame in Cleveland, Ohio. And he has a wonderful museum, and he met Alison Krauss. Okay? Next guest is Dan Bain. He's the CEO of Trader Joe's. He has a big Hawaiian t-shirt made to fit his kamakuvuvuoli. My favorite Trader Joe's item is barbecue chips. His is Mandarin orange chicken. I like to work there someday, but now I work at CRC Thrift Store with Natalie and do street team with Joe. Next guest is not famous, but he's a pastor who baptized me. His name is Josh Kirchhoff. We used to go to Solana Press Church, but now we go to a new church, North Coast Calvary Chapel. He loves to laugh even in worship. Here's his clip. Next guest we want to talk about is, do you know the band Ren Collective? I was so excited to meet the lead singer, Chris Lou Ellen. His favorite Bible story is Gideon and reads with Noah. And here's how he talks in his Irish voice. Brilliant. I've had a lot of musical guests, starting with Andy Grammer. He told me simple is best in songwriting, and his favorite staple from Whole Foods is Perrier water. Here's his clip. Then we went to Shaoka Mountain Community Church, and I got to interview the gospel singer Babby Mason. She played church piano in her daddy's church since she was 5, and we talked about songwriting, and she told Reed, write everything down. And at the end of the interview, she said, thank you, Reed, you're good. Here's Babby's clip. The next we want to talk about is a Grammy-winning blues singer, Keb Moe. I got to interview him at the Belly Up Tavern near our house because that's where I hang street team hanging posters with Joe. I like to go to the sound check instead of the show because there's a lot of people and the applause bugs me. And so we're not going to play a clip from Keb Moe. In fact, there's no clip for Keb Moe. But we do want to talk about my music therapist, Angela Navy. She taught Reed piano since I was 5. And we recorded 2 CDs together, Purple Party and Shine, which I'm going to sing to you after the live interview. And so, here's Angela's clip. Hope you enjoy it.
Thank you.
Angela wants to win a Grammy. I want to be on Broadway like Kim Foray. She's a Broadway actress, and she's the understudy for Cinderella. She has a lot of costume changes, and she likes to eat candy backstage. First, I was afraid to go, but then I enjoy it. What bugs Kim Foray out are subways in New York. So we go to Boston because my sister Allie works at Berklee College of Music, and I got to interview Josh Cantor. He's the Boston Red Sox organist. He's also a music librarian at Harvard. He's more into music than baseball. Thinks of Fenway Park is like improvisation theater. Here's Josh Cantor's clip. Yes. Another Boston interview was Samuel Adams. He's the actor of the Boston Tea Party ship. He talked about being a rabble rouser, throwing the tea overboard, and he has a dog named Q. I said if he knew the line from Mary Poppins, he said he has never heard of Mary Poppins, and here's the line. Tea was unsuitable for drinking even for Americans. And I had a lot of guesses on Talk Time. Does anybody know who this is? Raise your hand. Yes. Temple Grandin, you're right. We went to LA to interview her. The trickiest part is she tried to interview me and I said, no, I'm here to interview her. And then her favorite movie she likes to watch is Monsters, Inc. And the last interview we want to talk about is, he's a head writer and voice of Murray on Sesame Street. His name is Joey Mazzarino. His first job as a kid was working at a balloon shop. And his favorite letter is M and reads was R. And after I interview Murray, he put Murray in a special duffel bag. And so here's his clip. Hope you enjoy it. All right, It's your turn. Who would like to come up and be interviewed? I'm looking for someone. What about you, Dorothy? Come on up. Come on up. Sit right there, Dorothea. Right here.
Okay.
All right.
Ready.
Hi, Dorothea. What do you like to do every Saturday?
Sleep late.
I like to do horseback riding and do a storm game. In fact, that's what I'm doing tomorrow.
Tomorrow is Saturday.
Yes. I like playing baseball. I have a team named the Storm. I'm one of the players on the Storm team. And when I go horseback riding, my horse's name is Mikey. Yeah, isn't that awesome? Just like the player Mikey Sapp is on my Storm team. So, Dorothea, if you had a podcast, who would you interview?
Let me think. Who would I interview on a podcast? I think I would interview a teacher.
A teacher? I want to interview Eddie Murphy on my podcast. He's on my wish list, talk time wish list.
Maybe he will do it for you.
Of course. If he says yes. But Mama has to think about it, okay? And also Barack Obama and Jody Benson are going to be on my podcast.
Barack Obama will have time pretty soon. So.
Of course. Do you know the president?
Yeah. He'll do it probably.
He'll do it probably. So we have three more questions. Do you like to read books?
I love to read books.
What?
I am three book clubs.
You're in three book clubs? Could you tell me?
Yes. I go to the Literary Guild.
Of course.
To a community one. And I go to a sorority one. Three book clubs.
All right. What's your favorite movie?
My favorite movie. I don't go to too many movies. I watch them on Netflix.
You watch them on Netflix?
I don't go to too many movies. I really liked The Da Vinci Code.
The Da Vinci Code? Well, I like The Jungle Book with Phil Harris on VHS instead of Netflix.
Do you know the songs from Jungle Book?
Hey, Jungle Poppins is doing the Bare Necessities, and I Want to Be Like You, they're from the original Jungle Book with Phil Harris.
That would be a great song for you, the Bare Necessities.
The Bare Necessities, Jungle Poppins is going to do the Bare Necessities with me. If I ask them, and if they say yes, we'll do it. And maybe you can see it. Maybe you should come to one of the Jungle Poppins gigs. That would be awesome.
I'm there.
Okay. We'll schedule a day.
Love it.
All right. Last question is, what music do you like to listen to, Dorothea?
I like country music a lot. And I also listen to contemporary church music, religious music.
Of course. I like Taylor Swift.
Me too.
You love Taylor Swift?
Yes.
Of course.
My granddaughter just went to her concert in Boston.
Of course. Her daughter went to a Taylor Swift concert in Boston. That's where Allie is.
That's where my granddaughter lives.
I did not know that. And guess what? Allie will be coming to San Diego in November.
I need to visit with her.
Of course. Maybe you should meet Allie.
I would like to.
Of course.
Allie went to my school when I was still working at a school. And you went to my school. Do you remember that?
I do remember that.
I remember it. You were little.
I was little. Thank you, Dorothea.
Thank you.
You can go back to your seat now.
Thank you.
Our last song will be Purple Party, and I think I might pass purple hats out. Everybody, stand on your feet. Everybody, step on your feet. Everybody, stand up. And here are the words. You only echo after I say purple. You say purple. I say plapus. You say plapus. I say presents. You say presents. And after I say poppins, you say poppins. I say poppy seed. You say poppy seed. And when I say pretty, you say pretty. Hope you enjoy it. Oh, you're invited to a purple party. Hope you enjoy it. Here we go. We're gonna dance all night at a purple party. Put your polka dot shoes on. We're gonna dance all night at a purple party. Put your party hats on. We are eating purple cabbage. We're dancing with a purple platypus. Purple penguin passes our presents. We are eating blunts. We're gonna dance all night at a purple party. Put your polka dot shoes on. We're gonna dance all night at a purple party. Put your party hats on. We are watching Mary Poppins. We are eating purple poppy CK. There are pretty lilac flowers. They smell like perfume. Show us your purple dance. Here we go. 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 We're gonna dance all night at our purple party. Put your polka dot shoes on. We're gonna dance all night at our purple party. Put your party hats on. Here we go. We're gonna dance all night at our purple party. Put your polka dot shoes on. We're gonna dance all night at our purple party. Put your party hats on. Here we go. Thank you.
All right. Was that fun? A little movement exercise? So we have my book's available for $10. The Purple Party CD with all the colors is also $10. And then Reed's Worship CD is also $10. So we have some discussion questions for you at your tables. But if you have any questions for Reed or I, we're happy to take a few of those now and then keep you on schedule with your small groups. Reed, will you come back up if there's a question for you? No? Okay. So, Jen.
Hey, Reed, can you come back up? Thanks, buddy. You did such an awesome job. That was a great gig. So we just want to thank you guys both so much for joining us today. It was such an honor. Andrea has been an amazing mentor and inspiration to me for many years, and I think you very much for all the hope, wonder, and kindness you've brought to my life. And Reed, you bring so much joy. So this is for Mom, actually. But I have a Panera card for you for our next Panera date.
Of course.
Of course.
I can't remember that.
Do you want to tell everyone what you like to get when we go to Panera?
I think pecan braids and bear claws and lemonade.
That's right. And if I'm really lucky, do you sometimes share a bite?
Yes, I do.
I have to be really nice, though. Huh. Just to be in a good mood. Anyways, thank you guys both so much. It was such a gift. Definitely feel free to chat with them after.